Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. We thank you for your kindness and for your mercies. As we enter your word, we enter in with humility, recognizing the limitations of the human mind, the natural human mind, to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been hidden and compressed into this written word. Consequently, we come to ask you to help us. I pray in particular for myself, you will anoint me afresh so that I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. And I pray that you put the same anointing and unction upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who will hear physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that this word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Further, pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great measure to follow and back these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, as the word goes forth, Lord, let power to heal, power to deliver, power to break yokes, power to free men to be released, so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful. So I will deliver this word indeed with precision. I will redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing mentioned, agreed and said, we are in studying 1 John. In our last lesson, we were rounding up the first chapter. I will just briefly recap that, and we will look at the first few verses of chapter 2. And here in 1 John, from verses 7 through 10, John tells us, he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, can you read after me, please? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. This is a present continuous operation. The cleansing of the blood is not a one-time thing when we get born again. It's continuous. But it is conditionally continuous, because in verse 8 it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Sadly, there are a lot of Christians like that who deceive themselves. But in verse 9 it says, if we, notice it is conditional. It is conditional. In other words, you know, I've heard over the years, Pastor G, you won't believe this, I've heard people say, the cleansing of Jesus' blood, Jesus is automatic. It's not. Can it be? The Bible doesn't say so. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. This shows us that the cleansing power is total at the time of its activation. This is very important. We're going to see more of this today. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all. It means when God cleanses you from everything at that time. And it's the road, as we're going to see, going into 1 John chapter 2, it is actually the road to perfection. You can't really get perfected as a Christian without the frequent cleansing of the blood of Jesus, which you have to activate by faith. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then the last verse there says, if we say, again conditional, we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And in our last lesson, I brought up the fact that you need to, this thing is dependent on honesty of heart. You have to, he says, if you say you don't say, you're dishonest. You know, and then you're deceiving yourself. Now, I want to bring out something. I don't think I emphasize this as much as I maybe should have in my last lesson. I want to bring out something here that is very, very important. And this has to do with the fact that sin is, first of all, a nature before sin is an act. Now, this concept, again, is obscure to many Christians. And you will notice he makes that distinction in two places. He says, if we say we have no sin. So sin is something you have. Then he also says, if we say we have not sinned. So sin is something you do. It's very subtle, but it's there. So sin is a nature. It's something we have. Then it is also something we do. Now, watch this. You first of all have to clean. You need to get rid of the nature of sin before you can get rid of the acts of sin. So when you talk to the average Christian, we see sin as doing bad things, which it is. You know, adultery, fornication, telling lies, and so on and so forth. And all those things are sins. They are acts of sins. But there is a nature of sin that is causing us to do those things. This is where the power of the blood of Jesus really is. And which is where, again, you know, sadly, you know, the blood, the understanding of the and the application of blood of Jesus has been so misused in the body of Christ. They go to the Old Testament and they try to force the typologies to apply to physical things. You see people, you know, saying things like, you know, we put the, you know, I put the blood of Jesus on my house, or I put it, you know, over my life. You know, you really can't do that. That's not what the blood of Jesus is for. The purpose of the blood of Jesus is to remove, is to cleanse you from the sin nature that begins to block the flow of the life of God into you, so that you can have access, full access to the life of God, which in turn will now remove the nature of sin, which in turn will now remove the deeds of sin. That's the sequence. And if that understanding is not there, you will discover you're trying to, I understand what people are doing. It's actually the conscience, the guilty conscience of the human nature that's trying to grasp at straws, you know, to try and get a protection that they should ordinarily have gotten if the power of God, life of God is in them and they pray and the angels of God are there. So they try and now use the blood of Jesus Christ to do that because deep down in their heart they feel guilty of sin. Whereas the correct thing to do is to use the blood of Jesus Christ to sprinkle your conscience from dead works so that you can have access to the living, to the power of God and serve the living God. The thing that really protects you as a Christian is the angels of God and the power of God. That's what really protects you. The blood of Jesus is to give you access to that protection. But you see, you know, you see people doing that all the time, you know, putting blood on the expressway, putting blood on their cars, putting the blood on their, because of what happened in the book of Exodus, where, you know, God told them to put the blood of the Passover lamb, you know, on the lintel, and therefore the angel of death would pass you over. That was a physical thing that God used as an act of faith of the children of Israel to protect the birth of the firstborn. That thing had no power in itself. It was just an act of faith. It's just like the blood of the animals that they used to kill in the Old Testament didn't have the power to remove the sin. But when you did it in faith, God would cover your sin for a year. And then God's power will come and heal you, or deliver you. For instance, this is just coming to me now. Look at Abraham and Sarah. You know, God promised them they were going to have a baby, you know, when they were 9,900 years old. Now, what did that thing? Wasn't the animals that Abraham killed? He was killing animals, of course. You know, he was sacrificing and giving offerings to God. But it wasn't that. It was the power of God that entered into that physical body and gave life to it. Hallelujah. It's the same thing with us. The power of God. The blood has to do with legal access. The cleansing of the blood will remove sin so that you can have legal access to the power. It is the power that does the protection, not the blood. It's very important to understand this, you know. And so you see that the purpose of the blood of Jesus is the cleansing, so that we can have access to greater and greater measures of the life and the power of God. And these greater measures of the life of God will ultimately remove the sin nature, which in turn will ultimately perfect our conduct, so that we will stop the acts of sin. And this is what John, by the Holy Spirit, you know, encapsulates in these few verses. But it is so pregnant with revelation, you know. Says, if we say we have no sins, then we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He tells you how the blood works. The blood works when you confess your sin and you're honest about it. And then I brought this out also. We'll move into chapter 2 in a minute. I brought this out also last time, that when you begin to understand what sin really is, both the nature and the act, you begin to see why he made this statement. You begin to understand why he made this statement. You know, let me, I'm going to give an example, a typological example from Saul. Samuel, and then I'll apply it to us today. Samuel comes to Saul and says, why have you disobeyed the word of the Lord? You know what Saul says? Just, we all do that same thing. He said, no, I've not. He said, thy servant, I did what you told me to do. I killed all the Amalekites and everything that they had. He said, I only spared the good part to sacrifice unto the Lord. In Saul's eyes, that's why it's a deception. If we say we have no sin, would you say Saul had deceived himself to believe that he had actually obeyed God? Now, he did obey God, but he did not obey God completely. The prophet told him that he should not spare anything, that he should kill, you know, all the Amalekites and everything that they had given, you know, and they called, and they should spare nothing. He said, well, fine, you know, I did that, all the bad parts, and I kept the good part, which, to your natural mind, is okay. So what you think is okay, God doesn't think is okay. That's where the deception comes in. And then I brought this out in our last lesson, and it's very, very important. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You're praying, and you pray in fear, and you pray in unbelief. You sinned. Now, I know you don't think you sinned, because what you say is, I'm not sinning, I'm praying. But how are you praying? Do you know a lot of our prayers are out of unbelief and fear? Desperation? And God says, he doesn't. So that's why you need to, you know, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, he said, to him it is sin. God speaks to your heart. I gave that example, you know, jokingly last time. You know, to do something, you know, nobody else knows except you and God. You don't do it. And then you forget about it, and you don't realize you sinned. You didn't commit fornication, you didn't commit adultery, you didn't do anything, you know. In fact, no other person knows you sinned except you and God, if you be honest about it. And you can tell yourself, oh, I didn't sin after all. You know, maybe that was just the devil telling me to give Pastor Olivia that 1 million naira. Hello? He said, to you, it is sin. Then he says, the thought of foolishness is sin. You know, so many Christians, our thought life runs riot. And you begin to understand that the reason, that's why the underlying, we're going to see it now, you know, as we go into chapter 2. The underlying reason is the sin nature. That sin nature, excuse me, is still in the soul. It's in the mind, the will, the emotions. And so it still has a, it says, but Paul said it this way. I can't say it better than the Bible says it. He says, you know, in Galatians chapter 5, it says, the flesh, the word flesh there in the King James could be a little bit obscure. You know, if you look at some of the modern translations, particularly the New International and some of the other ones, the sin nature, that's the best way to think of it. The sin nature in the flesh. It says it lusts against the spirit, the born again spirit. And the spirit is in opposition to that sin nature in the flesh, so that you, the born again spirit filled, and I always say this jokingly, tongue talking, chorus singing, you know, and so on and so forth, can't do the things you want to do. The thing that is making you think, even think the wrong things, is that nature. So you want to get rid of that nature. And that's the way you're going to do that, is by the blood, the word, and the spirit. There's no other way. Those are the three ingredients. The blood will cleanse you from the nature. You know, the word will give you access to the life. And the Holy Ghost will now convert that life to power to enable you, what the Bible calls the power of godliness. So you start becoming godly in your thinking. You begin to start becoming godly in your desires from inside. You start becoming godly in your disposition. You begin to think like God. You begin to feel like God. A prayer I've been giving us in recent times. You begin to act like God from within. That's the whole. That's the essence. That's where God wants to get to. See, but if you're looking at Christianity from a very, I don't know the better word to use, traditional outer court. I use the word outer court, you know, typifying the way the natural, the way the Christian who is not baptized the Holy Spirit, and who, even if he's baptized the Holy Spirit, is still thinking like a natural man. If you're Christian, if you're still thinking like, if you still think that sin is only the Ten Commandments, you're deceived. Because it says, if we say we have no sin. He said, we deceive ourselves. If we say we have not sinned. He's not only just talking at the level of the Ten Commandments alone, which it includes, but he's gone on to a higher level. He's now talking about you're getting down to the heart, to the nature of sin. You know, even in my thoughts, a thought that is not of God, that my will aligns to. You see, if my will hasn't aligned to it, I haven't sinned. It's still a temptation. It's a lust. God, James gives us the breakdown in James chapter 1. He says that lust, when it conceives, it gives rise to sin, and then it gives rise to death. When it's still a lust is just a desire. If my will does not agree with it, and I pull it down, and I crucify it, it doesn't become a sin. Then it's a temptation, but it doesn't become a sin. It only becomes a sin when my will aligns with it, and I decide, I accept it as an act of my will, I want to do it. That's when it becomes a sin. And it's only when it becomes sin that death, which is separation from God, that happens. If these things are deep, but they are essential truths, so that we can go on to perfection. The reason why we still roaming around in this wilderness of sin, so to speak, is because many times of a lack of understanding of these things, and then probably more important, lack of understanding foundationally, and then a lack of honesty. I got to be honest with myself. There's still things in there that are not right. So with that understanding the background, I say, if our Father, I confess our sins, I now understand why I'm doing that. The evil sins that have happened, you don't even remember you did them. Hello, somebody. That's what David said, you know. He said, cleanse me thou from secret faults. It's there. But I have to be honest enough to recognize that when I understand that sin is not only an act, it's also a nature. And even at the thought level or with fear and unbelief, like the man who came with his son, who had the epileptic fit. You know, and he brought his son, and the guys couldn't cast the devil out. You know, the other apostles. Then Jesus came back from the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And Jesus just asked, he said, what's going on? He just asked, you know, he looked around, said, what's going on, guys? You know, this will be translation. And the man begins to cry and say, oh, my son is, you know, this, and I brought him, and your disciples couldn't cast him out. Just very angry. He didn't sin, but he was angry because he expected this. By this time, they had been with him for a while. He had already given them the power to cast out devils. This is after he had given them the power. So he knew that they could cast out the devil. So, and they didn't cast him out. And Jesus was very angry. He just said, oh, how long will I suffer you? You know? What's wrong with you guys? Should I cast the thing out? You know? And then the man said, watch this. We are like that so many times. You know what he said? He said, if thou can help us, please help us. Immediately, Jesus, because it was unbelief, just attacked it immediately. And you know what he said? He said, this will be translation. If, he says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Immediately the man recognized it was a rebuke. And he was honest. The first, oh Lord, help thou my unbelief. And then he cast the devil out. You got to become like that. I'm talking about honesty. You got to be honest. When things are not, you know, that's why you don't lose anything by saying, Father, I confess our sins. You clean the whole thing out. And then you recognize that God wants you to get better and better. So, everything I've said, you can summarize it in these verses. Now, let's go to chapter 2 and look at verses 1 to 6. And this is what Jesus, I've said, you know, summarize what we did before, but it's, you must understand and remember that the Bible was not written in chapter and verse. It was a continuous discourse. The translators put it into chapter and verse for reference purposes, and they're very good, the references, so that they can help us know where what is. My little children, these things, what things? These things I've been talking about, if we say we have no sin, you know, and all of that, you know, if we confess our sins and all of that. These things write I unto you, that you sin not. In other words, if you practice what I've told you in those last verses, you will not be sinning habitually. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I like this. The word advocate is the same word as solicitor or lawyer. Jesus is our lawyer in heaven. Hallelujah. And he's there. Do you notice the difference between Jesus and the devil? The devil is the accuser of the brethren. Jesus is the advocate of the brethren. Oh yeah. Satan will come and accuse you and say, you did this and you did that. Jesus will come and say, yes, you did this, but my blood, glory to God. Hallelujah. But my blood has cleansed you from it. Therefore, even though you did it, you're justified. You're not justified because you did the wrong thing, but you're justified because I suffered on your behalf. So, I heard Kenneth Copeland say this years ago. I've never forgotten it. It stuck with me, and I use it all the time, every day. When you sin, run to Jesus. Don't run from him. He has made your sin his business. And you can also say this to the devil. Tell him your sin is none of his business. Yeah, I sin, but it's none of your business. Hello? Satan is a horrible person. He will pressurize you to sin. Then after you have sinned, he will turn around and then he'll accuse you. He's a very terrible person. He's the one who will pressure. He's the one pressurizing you. When, God forbid, when you finally, if you finally succumb to him, he's the same person that will now turn around and then condemn you. I've learned something and I'm still learning it. Under pressure, all the time, you know, my wife has said this in recent times. You see, your habit will find you out. Make it a habit to constantly be talking to Jesus. We're talking communion. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. You know, because if you're always turning to Jesus and you're always asking him to help you, you're always asking him for forgiveness, you're asking him for cleansing. God forbid, if and when you do sin under any kind of serious pressure, do you understand? The first person you're going to go to is him. Because of your habit. By the time the devil comes, it's too late. Jesus is my first port of call. And like Ken Copeland said this also, you know, he taught on these things in the summer of 1980. At the Kenneth Hagin camp meeting, he actually taught on life, light, and love, and perfection. The same things I'm teaching you, you know, and use different things. I was at that meeting. God sent me from England. And some of those things have stayed in my spirit. It's 40-something years now, you know, or 30-something, you know. 1980 is how many years? 38. You know, it's stuck inside my spirit, you know, over all of these years. And I still remember it just as fresh as if I heard it yesterday, you know. When you sin, you don't run from Jesus, you run to him. Because he has made your sin his business. And then you let the devil know that is none of his business. And that Jesus is there on your behalf. If there's one thing that is crippling the lives of many Christians, it's condemnation. And it's because they don't understand these things. Now, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. See, the child of God who is genuinely born again, he's not trying to sin. He's trying not to sin. But the devil, through the sin nature, the flesh lusts against the spirit, through the sin nature in the flesh, in the heart, in the flesh, and in the air, he's trying to pressurize you to sin. And Jesus is watching. And when nothing happens, run to him. Once you run to him, you're safe. Hallelujah. Then you get rid of the sin. And then what's going to happen, like I was teaching us the other time, your sin rate begins to drop. You sin, but not like you used to. Then you get better and better and better and better and better. And get to the point where there's no more sin. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. Don't your neighbor say an advocate. Not an accuser. With the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So your righteousness is of him. It's very, very significant he put the word the righteous. So my righteousness is not my own righteousness. It's Jesus' righteousness. Both positionally and actually. So I positionally, I get it by the blood, by right standing. And then actually, he gives me his life. And then he enables me to do righteousness from inside. Amen. Hallelujah. So my righteousness of myself. And he is the propitiation for our sins. That propitiation is just a big word. It just means sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Give it to me, New International Version. Sometimes the King James can be, you know... Right, see, atoning sacrifice. Okay, go back to King James. Okay. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only. This is a blank check here. But also for the sins of the whole world. Do you know you can cover sins for sinners? Oh, no, he hasn't accepted Christ yet. I know that. Amen. But because of you, God can cover your people. Isn't that what Daniel did? Isn't that what Daniel did? Daniel was not the one who sinned that made them go to Babylon. In fact, the Bible says Daniel was perfect. The Bible says, you know, Daniel had purpose in his heart. You know, and he had an excellent spirit. Watch this. That was chapter 6. But Daniel's prayer is chapter 9. It's the same Daniel. He now comes and says, we have sinned. Our fathers have sinned. We must learn that. That's what I'm teaching you. We confess our sins. You see, you're not covering for yourself only. Amen. You're covering for those in your immediate and even the sinners around you. The reason why God will bless many nations is because of the righteous remnant. Amen. That's what God told Abraham. Yeah. Yeah, okay. There are 200,000 of them. I'm just, you know, speculating. You know, maybe there were more in Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's see, back in those days, population was not like it is today. You know, probably 100,000. You know, God said, if I get 10 guys there, if I get 10 people there who will cover the sin of the 100,000, I'll spare the place. That's why he didn't die for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And that is why you should be a savior, not an accuser. Papa Ralph said something many years ago. He said, how do you think God is going to save the world? By forgiving it. That's how we're going to save people. By forgiving them. Why do you think Nigeria is still around? If you look at the history of Nigeria and all the, compared to other countries like Rwanda, and all, Nigeria should have scattered long ago. The reason why Nigeria is still here is because there is a remnant in Zion who will not keep silence day or night. Hallelujah. And go to God all the time and say, I confess our sins. And that righteous is a righteous remnant. So the covering doesn't only come for them, it also comes for the whole nation. If we confess, let's go back. Thank you for this, Daniel. Daniel, God cover. And we're supposed to be doing the same today, standing in the gap. So when you see all these guys, politicians, stealing money and all of that, don't spend all your time condemning them. I'm not saying what they're doing is right. You know, you spend your time covering so that some of them can change. And if they don't change, God's judgment will come upon them selectively later. But the nation will be saved. None of us only, but also for the sins of the what? Whole world. That is, there is no... Watch this. Jesus died for everybody. No matter how wicked, no matter how bad, Jesus died for them. Now, they may not appropriate it personally, which they will have to give account for later on, but you can stand in the gap. I correct that. You must stand in the gap for them. That's what Jesus expects of you as his child. That says you are saviors from Mount Zion. Jesus is the savior. We are saviors under the savior. Verse 3. Hello, somebody. Hereby do we know that we know him if, again, you see all these conditionalities, we keep his commandments. Verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The same thing he said in chapter 1. If we say we have no sins, you know, if you're not walking in the word and the life and the power of God, you know, and you say you know him, then, you know, you're a liar. Now, let me say this, you know, I'll stop here and make a comment that's very important here. And it is this. After I got born again, I'm talking about myself personally now, and this is true universally, I'm sure. You know, the first thing I noticed, you know, was that inside my nature changed. The desire to sin was no longer there like it used to be.
Now, that I didn't say I didn't sin. I'm saying, you know, sin was no longer a desire, a habit. You know, and I knew nobody. I didn't go to church. There was no church back in those days. You know, I was in Cross River State. This was even before I went to England. You know, I knew I had changed. I used to smoke. I stopped smoking automatically. I didn't try to. The new nature inside me changed. I started looking at flowers and things I didn't used to care about before. And I began to love creation because I had now fallen in love with the Creator. Something happened inside. You understand? There's nature, the proposition, the propensity, the desire, the inclination to continue to sin was removed. Now, I still sinned. Don't misunderstand me, you know, because I wasn't perfect, but I no longer sinned habitually. I remember going to parties because, you know, we were youth coppers, so we used to go to parties, you know, with the youth coppers and the people around town, you know, the doctors and the officers' mess. You know, I was young, you know, with all these guys, you know. I remember after I got born again, I would say, oh, you know, all of you, there's a party. I said, okay, let's go. I was born again, but I didn't. There was nothing like scripture pastor. There was no church. There was no pastor. There was nothing. You know? So it's just me. But I knew I'd changed. So in the party, I'll sit down. You know, they'll be passing cigarettes and, you know, drinking and all that. I just sit down quietly. I said, don't you feel like dancing? I said, what's wrong with you? Nothing. You can't do what you were doing. The man had changed. The man had changed. I had changed. I knew. The thing followed me to Lagos. I kind of backslid, but it was not like before again. I would go to parties with my friends. Even my unbeliever friends knew something had happened. I said, what's wrong with you? I said, no, nothing. I'm fine. Oh, sickly. I'm telling you, my friend, what's wrong? It's not the same. Something had happened. That's what he's talking about. When you truly, there's all this kwashoko born again that we have today. You know, when you truly get born again, something on the inside changes, and you don't even like to sin. They'll be serving me. They want to serve me. You know, they used to have gin and lime. You know, they'll put lemonade, ginger ale. Then you put some hot drink inside. When I get the guy said, I said, don't give me that. I said, just ginger ale. Thank you. Just the ginger ale. Thanks. So I'll be drinking. They won't know that there's nothing inside. I'll just be, you know, but I'll sit down there. I'll just be looking at it. Then after a while, something, you know, the desire, the all the thing. I just got tired of it. And then I started looking, you know, I didn't know God like I know God now, you know, but I now recognize I was on a search on what's the mechanics of this thing and how do I get to live above sin. And once I found it, I checked out completely. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't sin at all. Of course, all those other little ones, you know, whatever is all of faith is sin, you know, lack of prayer, less than so. All those were still happening, but it wasn't like before. That's what the Bible is talking about. Is this clear? I know him, and keep it not, he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. So, you see somebody, and he's still an habitual sinner. He's not born again. I don't care what he says. And many of our churches are full of them. You know, born again is popular now. In fact, when you hear this, I'm a born again one. I'm a cuckoo born nothing. No, you say, are you a born again? With my cuckoo chair. Because there's no such thing as a born again. It means he has no clue. But he's going to a place, he has all the cliche. He says the language. You know, you see them in the airport when they see me. Pastor, more anointing. But he's not born again. Because the Christian lingua has now become universal in Nigeria. Every everybody in Nigeria is born again. Haven't you heard? It's pervaded, but thank God for it. Like Paul said, some preach Christ, but thank, it wasn't like before. When you say born again, say, Darren. You know, when we're younger, you know, say, are you crazy? But now, you know, being born again, there's no stigma to it anymore. In fact, everybody now wants to be born again. You know, you go to this place, you find even governors, everybody goes there, everybody wants anointing. Born again and not born again. More anointing. More blessing. My pastor. I love my pastor. But thank God. You know why? It means they are closer to the kingdom. Jesus said, you are not far. They may not be here yet, but they are already on the way. Watch this. They are waiting for the Feast of Tabernacles. There is a whole army out there. They don't really understand, and they see the hypocrisies, and they play the same game with us. But when the real thing shows up, he said, this is our God. We have waited for him. They're going to come in. And they're going to come in their multitudes. Are you listening to me? Verse 5. I got to close. Thank you, Jesus. But whoso keepeth his word, I like this. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily. The word verily means that it means that there's a false one. In him truly. The word verily just means truly. It means that there is another one that is not. That's why I talked about deception earlier. There are Christians who think, you know, I've met Christians, you know, who think they're really perfect. And they're not. Far from it. They don't even know what perfection means. But the doctrine of their church and their denomination has told them that they are better than all the other Christians. Is the love of God perfected? In him truly is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Verse 6, I'm going to stop there. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. Now, those 6 verses are a continuation of chapter 1. If you will learn to clean with the blood of Jesus frequently and allow the life of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, to work in increasing measure in your heart, that removes the sin nature, your conduct will change, and after a while you start walking like Jesus. It's perfection right there. He said, ought to walk even as he walked. I asked this guy, I taught this many, many years ago, it's even in some of my books I've written, you know, he said, how did he walk? Tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. So you start walking like that too. Oh, everybody open your mouth. Say, how did he walk? Tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. So turn to your neighbor, say, you walk like that. I walk like that now. Give yourselves a clap offering. Amen. That's how he walked. And look at Hebrews chapter 13. Verses 20 and 21 encapsulates. That's why I brought it at the end. It encapsulates everything John has been saying from chapter 1. Watch it. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the everlasting blood. I say, through the blood. This is a place to shout the blood. Amen. I don't feel like shouting. You know, when you are praying, you say, you know, sometimes I'm with some people from other churches and all that. You know, and when they ask me to pray, I say, Father, we confess our sins and we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, which is my habit, you know, to clean so that we can pray properly. But once I say the blood, everybody just shout, blood! They haven't got a clue what I'm doing. they think the blood is some type of talisman, some type of magic thing. Once you just, you know, so everybody just the blood. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, watch this. make you perfect. What's he saying in 1 John? Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. It's through the blood. No blood, no perfection. Let me paraphrase that. No frequent cleansing of the blood by honest confession of sin, no perfection. Honest confession of sin. And when you confess your sin, always say clean from all unrighteousness. Because once you clean from all unrighteousness, it gives you a sense of righteousness, not a sin consciousness. If you just say, Father, I confess my sin, and you don't say, I clean from all unrighteousness, you can develop a sin consciousness. That's why the man went into detail, the Holy Spirit, to give us, he's explaining everything to us. Make you perfect in every good work. I didn't hear you. To do his will. Watch this. Working in you. So it is the blood that gives him the access to work in you. Working in you. I didn't hear you. That which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. So the blood is the agent by which access God has access to work inside you. If you don't clean with the blood, there's a block. So the work of God in you is limited. You can remember the scripture, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It is God who is at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. But without the cleaning of the blood, that access is denied or hindered. You got to understand this. You got to understand this. And it is when, I got to close, I'll pick it up in my next lesson. It is when the life of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, is flowing in sufficient measure through the cleaning of the blood, that God can then begin to do his work, continue to do his work of perfection, to bring you to where he wants you to get to. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, watch this. Now are you clean through the word that I have spoken unto you? That's what Jesus said in John chapter 15. He says, now are ye clean. The word, there is a cleansing agent inside the word of God. It's the life of God. But it is the light, it is the blood of Jesus that opens the door for it to enter to do the work. Is it clear? Is it clear? And God's will, this is God's perfect will for us, is to keep using the blood. So when you say, Father, I confess our sins, you do for yourself, you do for the people around you. You know, you do see that thing I do on Tuesdays now. I take us through all the sins, you know. Not because I want you to be, many of those sins you're not committing them. You may not be committing adultery, you may not be committing fornication, but we still mention them because we're not only covering for ourselves. We're covering for people around us, and we're covering for a nation. That's what Daniel did. Daniel wasn't the one who sinned, but he was covering. He said, you know, our sins and our fathers. He wasn't a part of it. When God appeared to him, he said, man, dearly beloved. This is a guy, he's like Jesus. He's behaving like Jesus. He's now, Jesus didn't sin, but he took the sins of others on him. You and I may not have sinned, but we take the sins of others and ourselves and we cleanse them and cleanse ourselves too. You know, you have your own sin. It may not be as serious as the sin of the other person. Amen. But so you have your own that may be small, and then the other person's that is big. And then when we do it, we are helping everybody. Hallelujah. The will of God is for us to be a channel of blessing, a savior from Mount Zion. So we now, God uses us as a conduit pipe to be able to now help the sinner and people. You know, when we look back at your own life, look at all the time before you got born again, all those times God saved you, somebody else was praying for you. Now it's your own turn to pray for somebody else. Let us pray. Talk to God. Talk to God.
sin. Understand it. You see, what you don't understand will defeat you. When you understand that sin is first of all a nature, then it's a deed, and then the blood of Jesus Christ has been given so that I can be cleansed from the effect of the deeds, that will now give access to the life of God, which will now eradicate the nature. Then I've overcome sin. Jesus has overcome sin for us. That's why he came. Talk to God. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive the foolish ways, renew us in the rightful mind,
impure
life, thy servant.
In deeper reverence praise.
Sing this again. Dear Lord, and it's a great prayer. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, for a great hymn, foolish ways, reclothe us, glory to God. Still dews of quietness. What a prayer.
Still dews of quietness.
Till all our striving cease. Take from our souls. Again, drop thy still dews, glory to God. It's a prayer, it's not just a song.
Drop thy
dew is a type of water, it's a type of the life of God.
All our striving seed,
take from our souls the strain and the stress. Of our desire. This is the Holy Spirit.
Breathe through the heats of our desire, thy coolness and thy balm.
Let sense be dumb. Let flesh retire. Speak, hallelujah. Of our desire again. It's not just a song, it's a prayer to the Holy Spirit.
come. Let flesh retire. Speak through the earthquake.
Heart, raise your other hand as we respond to God in faith. Remember, don't pray in unbelief. Always pray in faith. Remember, whatever is done of faith is sin. Let that thing mark your consciousness. So every time you want to open your mouth to pray, make sure, check yourself, make sure you're praying in faith.
Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire, speak through the earthquake, wind and fire, oh, still small voice of calm, oh, still small voice of calm.
Hand up. The other hand, these are symbolic gestures but have great spiritual meaning. Don't just do it mechanically, do it in faith. The hand means I'm reaching out to God. I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. The hand of the heart means I'm honest and I'm sincere. That's what those two things mean symbolically. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, reminded me that you've given us your blood, your word, and your spirit to clean out the nature of sin and also to help us to overcome the deeds of sin. I thank you because Jesus truly came to take away our sins, not only to forgive us our sins and rid us of the punishment for sin, but also to give us the power to live above sin. Oh God, what a great salvation! What a great salvation! Father, your word I've heard today, I ask now that your Holy Spirit break it down for me personally. Help me to understand it. Help me to walk in it daily with understanding and with faith. Oh Lord, let me see myself living constantly above sin, forsaking sins, overcoming sins, cleansing sins, so that my righteous conduct will get better and better and better until it becomes perfect, until you see yourself in me and you are satisfied. You see the travail of your soul, all the suffering on the cross, the blood that you shed. You will see its efficacy in my life personally, in Jesus' name, amen. Nekatolo mashala priketo frenes li priketo frenengas nehio kotolamas. Zei kato frenenge solo kashk lombra kamatolo mashala lombra kamatolo matufri do freshe zehio yekato frenes. Lembredelas, Lopridia, Zephri, Langardolo Matolo Mashala, Ambrikito Fredes, Lombra Kamatolo Mashaloka Klamatolo Matufri de Freshe, Zeki Tufri de Klamatolo Matufres, Zofridi Klamatolo Mangardo Klamatolo Mashaha, Yikitufre, Umbrakamatolo Matolo Matufrines, Nufrines, Gias, Dolomangares, Nik Tufres, Lombredelias, Tufrines. No Fredes, Tolomas, Tolomas, Jiki Tufres, Tolomangaras, Jiki Tufres, Lungardolos, tu frenes, lungituscu frenes, mangaras, gioco, frenese, lombrideles, tu frenes, mangaras, tu frenes, lungituscu frenes. In Jesus' name.
Our lives, thy service find in deeper reverence, praise. In deeper reverence, praise. Let sense be.
Small.